What's up, guys? Another episode here of Whiskey Throttle Radio. Thank you so much for listening. On this show, we have 125 Ripper Cody Williams. He's a privateer from Wisconsin. He's actually racing on 125 this summer at some pro national rounds. He got 35-33 out at Thunder Valley. So we talked to him about that, his plans for the rest of the summer, and just, you know, how he got to start with dirt bikes. After that, we talked to privateer Heath Harrison about kind of about a supercross season, how he's been racing some off-road stuff, talk about the Perry Mountain 24-hour where his team got second overall, and his plans for the Outdoor Nationals this summer. As always, huge shout-out to our sponsors, Blood Lubricants, makers of high-quality racing oil, among other things, too. I mean, they make the greaser, polyclean, chain lube. They got it all, and they're always helping out privateers. And they want to help you guys out as well. So make sure to use a promo code WHISKEY at bloodlubricants.com for 25% off all their products. That's right, 25% off. Bloodlubricants.com. That's BLUD lubricants.com. Also, huge shout out to Risk Racing, makers of high quality, innovative products. They got a lot of great new products coming out here soon. Top guys like Jeff Walker, Henry Miller, and Anthony Rodriguez use their stuff. So make sure to check them out as well. Lastly, Task Racing, newly on board, hooked me up with a sweet helmet light that helped propel my team to a 13th overall at the Perry Mountain 24-hour. They got a lot of great stuff, taskracing.com. We'll have the owner of Task Racing on next show. So we'll, you know, talk to him about his company, how he got started, and all their great products. As always, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All right, let's hit it. On the line with me right now, it's a privateer out of Wisconsin. It's Cody Williams. What's up, dude?
Oh, not a whole lot, man. Just relaxing. Got done with work for the week and trying to get over a sickness that I've been battling since last weekend out of Lakewood. So, you know, it's been a fun week.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like it. You know, hey, first things first, coming off with 35-33 at Thunder Valley in Lakewood, Colorado. But the big thing here, Cody, is you're on a Husqvarna 125. What's up with that?
Man, you know, it's the bike's so much fun to ride, and I really just, it's something different, and it's something I kind of wanted to do, and just really have no pressure on myself, and just go out and enjoy it, and not take it as serious as I have in the past, and, you know, just enjoy riding again, and obviously I want to do good, and, you know, 35, 33 is nowhere where I want to be. You know, I qualified pretty decent for how deep the 250 field is this year. It seems like every year that both classes get faster and faster, but you know, we got room to improve, but you know, I'm super happy with how the season started.
Yeah, I'm sure the altitude there probably didn't help the 125, huh?
No, my bike was a little underpowered. I didn't really notice it until the first moto start when everybody lined up and I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right. Got a really good jump, and before I blinked, everybody was by me. I was like, all right, this is what we're going to deal with all day long. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm from Florida, but we drove out to Colorado over the summer and went riding out there in the mountains and stuff, and I have I had a 300 two-stroke, and I was amazed. I felt like there was a rag in the airbox. It was insane, you know, the amount of power it kind of robbed, so I'm sure you were hurting out there.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, you know, I guess you can ride the bike. Yeah, I mean, everybody's hurting, you know, but it wasn't, I figured the bike would feel like an 85. It didn't, thankfully. But it was definitely noticeable. You had to work to clear some of the small jumps on the 125, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned kind of going out there, having fun, taking some pressure off. And I guess, you know, being on the 125 kind of, that definitely adds to it. Obviously, you're kind of, not really expected to go out there and, you know, do super well. Obviously, you have, you know, the disadvantage of being on the 125. And I guess that kind of helps in the sense that, like, it's like when you get a bad start, you kind of do better sometimes because you're so focused on just going out there and trying to do your best. I'm sure that helps a little bit. Especially, it definitely lets you have some fun, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, there's not many things I feel like I'm going to win this year, maybe besides the RC Hard Charger Award if everything goes right, because I am definitely starting into that.
Mm-hmm.
but, you know, there's no pressure. It's how I kind of have the season set up for me. I got a full-time job this year, and, you know, and to not really be riding that much, and I feel way healthier than I have in the past. I'm enjoying it, and I just, you know, I feel like I'm just as fast, if not faster, than I was in the past on a bike that's way underpowered, and, you know, it just, everything's clicking, and I'm super happy with it, you know, so I can't really complain too much.
Yeah, you mentioned you picked up a job. Did I see you're doing some painting? You're a painter?
Yeah, I've been painting a little bit. You know, I guess you'd say that helps with the arm pump when you don't get to ride all the time. But, I mean, I can't say it fixes all the problems, but, you know, it definitely helps pay for this all, and it takes a little stress off, you know, off the old pocketbook. That's for sure.
How hard is it to find time during the week to ride, if any time to ride?
Honestly, every now and then I'll have like a week off or so where I can ride, and it'll rain, you know, back home, and it's like, oh, we can't paint today. It's, well, of course, now it's like, all right, well, this ain't prime time riding conditions because, well, it's raining outside. So, you know, I'll just go ride in the mud or something like that. But getting up to Colorado, I was hoping to get a little riding time in. It was pretty wet back here in Wisconsin, and I probably only rode maybe 2-3 times tops in the 3 weeks beforehand. So I definitely came into Colorado refreshed, and you know, not wore down, I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. But it's hard, man. It's hard. I'll bring my van with the bikes in the back of it to work for the week, and if we get done a day early, I'll, you know, post something on Facebook, see if anybody's got a track around where I'm at riding, and maybe go out there and try to burn some laps. So it's fun, you know, just trying to find new places and do what you can, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I was just talking to Heath Harrison actually about an hour ago. He'll be on this episode with you, and he just picked up he's working construction here in North Carolina now too, and he's kind of mentioned that sometimes not riding during the week keeps him a little more fresh. I think definitely doesn't burn you out as much. So maybe, you know, when we get later in the season, when everyone's kind of wore out, it'll, you know, come to an advantage for you.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, in the past, I'm always a super motivated person, you know, and I want to do the most I can, whether it's riding or training off the bike or just anything, you know, and I feel like maybe in the past it burnt me out a little bit, you know, and if I wasn't getting those top 15, top 20 results every single moto battling with the factory guys, I was never satisfied with it. And now it's, you know, I had a lot of injuries for a few years period, a lot of knee problems and just wrist problems and stuff like that. Had taken some time off, it kind of just allowed everything to heal up. And, you know, now from a day-to-day basis, it's almost like my body's just not sore every single day. I can run again. Everything's just feeling so much better. And it's like, wow, you know, mm-hmm. It's just taking a step back almost helped two steps forward. So it's pretty cool to look at it from that point of view.
Yeah. It's almost like a recharge for you. So you drove all the way out to Colorado. I'm guessing you're gonna be doing the whole series from here on out.
Hit or miss, you know, I'd like to do as many as I can. Definitely not Washougal. That's a haul and a half for sure. But I'd probably be at a high point, maybe WW, just kind of see how things line up, you know. Work definitely is going to come first, but, you know, if I can get a Friday off and drive through the night and get there, you know, it's fun to go racing on this bike and see what we can do. And I mean, I definitely want to hit as many as I can just because it's awesome to be there on the weekends, and it just makes it rewarding when you work all week and gives you something to look forward to on Saturday. So definitely going to see how many more I can hit. Definitely going to be all the local ones, though, for sure, on the Midwest. We're gonna be at.
Yeah, dude, that 125 in the sand down in Florida would be unreal, though. You have to try to make that one. That'd be so sick.
Yeah, I love the sand. And Southwick, like, if I could only pick one more to race, I'd pick Southwick. I love the sand, and I want to You know, when everybody else is getting tired by the end of that moto, I'm tossing around a super light 125. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see the WW round because obviously Southwick is like the lone sand round we have. But everyone I talk to, that like Jeff Walker, he's down trains in Florida during the school season because he's at FGCU, and he says all the tracks we have down in Florida are actually sandier than Southwick. So it's going to be interesting to see how that WW round plays out and if we're going to have two good sand rounds to mix it up.
Yeah, I've rode WW a little bit in the past, and I know the first time I rode there, I got arm pumped from Death Grip because the track was so fast. But I know they've changed it a little bit with the GP and stuff the last year and so. And the track, I mean, the dirt is awesome. Like you can, you know, it's like a hybrid between like your black dirt and sand, and it's so much fun to ride that type of dirt. You can just, you know, you can get away with a lot of mistakes. So you're gonna find guys from Atomac to myself to anybody on the line is going to be riding the track extra hard because you can get away with stuff, you know? So it's the racing's going to be better because everybody's going to look like they're trying so much harder, and it's going to be fun for sure. And hot and sweaty, and it's going to be brutal.
Yeah, it's going to, I know like the first three rounds haven't been hot, really hot at all. And dude, once it goes to Florida, it's going to be super gnarly. And I'm interested to see too with that round. Cause I don't know if you saw at the GP that those jumps were just massive, huge peaks, and they're shooting people so high in the air. I'm interested to see if they tone that down and make it kind of more like a traditional national knot. So it's cool to have one down in the home state, though. So it's definitely one I'm looking forward to.
Oh, heck yeah. No, I hope they tame them down a little bit because if they're too big, you know, I got to be able to make them.
Yeah.
So that could be a problem in some of these races.
So obviously with the 125, you got to ring that thing to hell just to get it to really perform. How much have you had to change with your riding style and your, you know, just your mental approach when you line up on the gate?
You know, I didn't really think too much about it. I've always rode 125 really well back in the day and stuff. And I like the bike. You know, I can stand up and just kind of flow into all the turns. And you know, just carrying speed is a big thing with that bike. And I mean, it handles so well as far as just turning. And you know, that's a big thing with the guy who builds my suspension. And it's just everything on the bike's good. So it flows good. And so I'm confident with it. And you know, as far as changing my riding style, I can't say it changes too much. I've always been a super smooth rider on a four stroke.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, rolling on it, rolling into the turns, and just carrying good roll speed, which is kind of something you have to do on that bike. And, you know, like when I turn up on the gate, it's not necessarily that I'm have a different mindset. It's just more of like, all right, well, you know, we're going to be in a dogfight this time because, you know, we're not going to be starting out front, whether it's at a local pro-am or, you know, racing the top guys in the world on the gate in the 250 class. You know, it's just, you're like, all right, here we go. Like, you know, got the tear offs ready, and we're looking to fight this moto because, you know, we're probably coming to the pack, which, you know, it makes it fun even at a local level. You know, we can go line up, and you know, if you don't get a good start, it's like, all right, let's just start picking these guys off and you know, work towards the front and get out front and have some fun then.
Yeah, exactly, man. It sounds pretty awesome, and it sounds like you're really stoked on, you know, riding the 125 in general. Have you, I'm sure the fans are super stoked at Thunder Valley as well. Did you notice more people coming up to you in the pits, or maybe it needs a couple rounds to set in for them?
No, I definitely noticed a few people in the pits, you know, and it was actually pretty funny when we got there. So I guess they had the 125 All-Star race had pitting, you know, outside of the pro pits just so it wasn't as congested. And they tried booting me out a few times. Like, hey, you're on 125. I'm like, hey guys, like, you know, I might be the only one here, you know. Stank obviously skipped last weekend, but, you know, might be the only one here at 125 of these pits, but I'm actually racing the 250 class. And they questioned me a few times, but I didn't get kicked out, so I was happy about that. Yeah, no, it's definitely, you know, it's funny.
Yeah, it's, dude, something about, like, I know I'm going on about this, but just when that first practice goes out and maybe you're not too sure who's going to be out there and whatnot, and then you just hear that two-stroke sing, it's so sick, and I'm sure you get that a lot. You're definitely going to get a lot over summer.
Yeah, no, my goal was definitely, you know, I haven't been in B practice, especially at like a national in a long time. I've, you know, never really missed one besides, I think one of the first ones I ever really did, and I missed Ironman last year at the Mudfest, but we all know how that went. There was a lot of guys that were pissed off that didn't get out of that one, but other than those two, you know, I haven't been in B practice, and for me, it was like, oh man, the track is fresh. Like, let's just get out there, you know? And it was deep. It definitely wasn't prime 125 conditions. I know one of the uphills with rollers, I was in first gear the whole way up it just because it was so deep and I wasn't going nowhere. But it was, you know, it was cool to get out there and just lay the hammer down. And, you know, I told my dad beforehand, I'm like, hey, you know, I want to be at the top of the leaderboard. And he was wrenching for me, and he hasn't helped me out. And I've always had a mechanic in the line with me and stuff. I'm sure he was pumped to have a number one on the pit board, you know, and even if it was just deep practice, you know, for him to do that and, you know, to be able to go out there and qualify with a good time. And, you know, we weren't too far off of the top guys in the first practice session. So that was pretty cool. You know, I think if we could have been in A practice, I could have been a little faster just because the track was more packed in, and the roughs necessarily aren't going to slow you down. It's, you know, come around to second practice when it gets a little bumpier and stuff like that. And I can't quite carry the speed. That's when it gets a little harder, but you know, the ruts are definitely my friend on 125, just getting those and carry them around. But no, I mean, even, you know, with the fans out there and stuff like that, when I was, you know, repping around the first practice, even when I was in the mid 30s in the motos, you know, people were cheering for me. I'm like, what in the world? You know, I've been in the top 15 before. Yeah. I never heard a person screaming for me, you know, and I'm back here in the 30s right now and on the struggle bus, and people are, you know, pumped that I'm out there. So it's definitely just a different, it's a unique feeling being on a two-stroke. Yeah, I'll definitely put it that way.
Yeah, people just love two-strokes, especially 125s. You mentioned the 35, 33 at Thunder Valley isn't where you want to be. What are your goals, I guess, position-wise for the rest of the season or the rest of the races that you do?
Honestly, I mean, I know where I've been in the past, and it's, you know, it's been scoring points. It's been, you know, right up front with the factory boys. I have no expectations of being there, you know. Mm-hmm. It would be nice to be in, you know, the mid-20s and stuff like that and just just see where we can put ourselves. And, you know, I mean, realistically, it's just see how good we can do it, like challenge myself almost. I really, you know, it would be super cool to score a point at some point this year. Obviously, I know with how deep the field is, you know, things might have to fall my way a little bit, you know, just because it will be hard. But I think when we come to some of the rounds closer to my house, you know, Millville, Red Bud, Iron Man, tracks that I don't, you know, ride really good at, I think, you know, maybe we can do it. And I mean, just, you know, I really don't necessarily have a goal of a position or anything like that. It's just like do the best we can and just keep getting better. And my big thing with what I didn't like about Colorado was I got super sick beforehand, and I had zero energy. I think I slept maybe 2 hours the night before. I wasn't nervous by any means. It was just throwing up and, you know, sweating and freezing. And it was not a fun few nights beforehand. And, but, you know, we got over it, got into the motos and just kind of stuck it out the best we could. And it was definitely a suffer fest. That was for sure.
Yeah. That's always, that's never fun. You know, being sick before a race and doing all that. Do you think that was altitude or was it just, you just got sick, happened to get sick that weekend?
No, I think, well, it definitely wasn't altitude just because I've been out there before, you know, and dealt with it. I mean, obviously, you know, it possibly could have been worse because of that. But, like, the Monday, Tuesday beforehand, I started feeling a little weak when I was back home. And I, you know, just kind of stopped working out. I'm like, all right, let's just, you know, don't want to make this any worse than it is, you know. And when we get out there, like, Wednesday, Thursday, my body aches were setting in and it was getting really bad. And, you know, just come Thursday, Friday, it was like, all right, we are not feeling too hot right now. And when I woke up Saturday morning, it was just, you know, throat lozenges and DayQuil and ibuprofen to take away the pain from the sore throat. And, you know, once I got done with the motos, I helped my dad pack up, and I am pretty sure I fell asleep right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely puts a damper on it and, you know, already kind of puts you in the hole. So obviously working during the week, what do you do, for training off the bike? Do you mountain bike? Do you cycle? Do you just hit the gym? What's your like program looking like?
In the past, it's always been super good. I've worked with really good trainers, you know, so they taught me a lot. And now it's just, you know, just kind of dealing with whatever I'm dealt when I'm, if I'm home. I love road bike and, you know, like rowing the concept, two row machines, stuff like that. I have a membership at like Anytime Fitness. Whenever I'm traveling for work, I can, you know, hopefully close to one of those, I can pop on in, you know, whether it's a spin bike, treadmill, whatever it is. Even if I'm stuck in the middle of nowhere, which sometimes I am, you know, we're at a hotel, just, you know, go jump on some of those. And sometimes I've been stuck on a granny bike or, you know, an elliptical or whatever. You gotta make hay while the sun shines, you know, and, just do the best you can. And it might not be ideal, but it's something, you know, it's better than sitting there doing nothing and feeling sorry for yourself. And you know, just make the best of it. And I definitely feel like I'm in good shape, though. It's just, you know, the riding time is what I'm missing out on right now. It's a big thing.
Yeah, definitely. And kind of sounds like privateer life to the fullest there.
Yeah, no, and it's, I mean, I wouldn't want it any other way, man. It's, I'm having fun. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of pressure. Obviously, I've put a lot of pressure on myself in the past, and I mean, it's just where I'm enjoying it this time around and have a different outlook on it, and, you know, and nothing's ever been handed to me, but, you know, to be able to work for it a little bit for yourself, it just makes it fun, more rewarding. You know, it's, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely sounds like it. Let's take it way back here, man. How did you first get started riding dirt bikes and racing and all that?
Let's see here. It was probably 99. So not even in the 2000s. 99, I had a little KTM 50, and Dad took me to a little local track, and I'd rode a few times, you know, and went there and had a race that day, and I think I got like ninth out of, man, 18 or 20 kids, and got a little trophy. I'm pretty sure they give a trophy to everybody in the 50 class. But got a trophy, you know, and I was pumped. I was hooked, and just kind of kept doing it ever since after that. And luckily we lived out in the country, you know, so when I was younger, I could ride around the yard and in the fields and pastures and stuff like that. And, just, you know, get better. We went to local races on the weekends and just kind of started as a family doing it that way. And, you know, as we got to, you know, got a little faster and a little faster, stuff started clicking and just, you know, started going a little bit bigger races. And I think the first time I tried for, you know, like say Loretta's or something like that was when I was in 85. And that was definitely an eye opener. You know, I got my butt whooped, but, qualified like a year or two later in super minis and just kept, you know, moving up from there. And, eventually got on with the Horton Yamaha crew out of, Texas when I was in B class and was with them guys for 3 years. And it just grew me into the rider I was to be ready for the pros. So, you know, it was, I mean, it's definitely been a long amateur road, nothing glorious, you know, nothing spectacular, but it was just a lot of time with my dad and putting the work in and, you know, a little 30-second turn track out in the front yard and eventually got to where we wanted to be. So it's definitely paid off.
Yeah, it's so interesting. So on this show, I mainly have, you know, privateer motocross riders like yourself, and it's funny how a lot of them, like, their amateur story is very similar. Like, they weren't the best. They might have missed Loretta's a couple times in their 85s and their early times on the big bike, and then or been mid-pack and stuff like that. And then maybe towards the end they were getting top 10s, top 15s, and they really, you know, kind of shined when they were pro. So I just find that so interesting because it's not your typical, you know, the second you got on like a 50 or 65, you're out winning everything and working your way up. And I feel like a lot of the kids that do that, sometimes they don't even make it to the pro, maybe because they're so burnt out and they take it too seriously. So I don't know. It's just something I've learned like over the year that I've been doing this, and it's really interesting to me.
No, you definitely, you know, even some of the parents and kids are up around my area, you know, if they're, you know, if they have a bad weekend or whatever, and they're, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, just be like, hey man, you know, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even know Loretta's was when I was 10, 11 years old. You know, and some people, it's like, that's the only race that means anything to them. And, I mean, heck, I was probably 14 years old the first time I qualified for it. And, you know, four years later, I was lining up at, what would have been, Unadilla for my first pro national. So, you know, or 5 years later, you never, you know, you don't know where the sport's going to take you. And, you know, in a few years, I went from my first year at Loretta's, I think I got 34th in both super mini classes. Mm-hmm. And, by the time I was in B class, I podium both classes, you know, so it's crazy how, you know, 1 year you can be getting, I think when I was in super minis, it was like Dakota Alex and, Jordan Smith and Cincerillo and those guys. I mean, they were laughing at me, you know, and then by the time I was in B class, it was with like Aaron Plessinger and those guys, and I was on the podium. So, yeah. You know, it's, anything can happen, and just, you know, keep putting in the work and everybody's time will come, you know, the harder you work, usually it pays off. So that's always a cool thing.
Yeah, definitely couldn't agree more. And it's funny. I forgot who it was. It was a couple weeks ago. I interviewed someone and they only went to Loretta's like their last year and they didn't even do that. I mean, I think they did maybe like top 15, but they only qualified 1 year. And then, you know, now they're consistent main event guy or consistent in that top 20 outdoors. So it's very interesting to hear. But growing up in the Midwest, seems like a lot of fast guys have been coming out there recently. Who did you kind of grow up racing that's like pro now or up and coming?
So me growing up around here, you know, we had a lot of like privateers, Van Buskirk, Sales, you know, they kind of came out of the arena cross background a little bit. And kind of transitioned over to like supercross and motocross. And obviously like Chase Sexton's out of Illinois. He's a few years younger than me, so we didn't really race too much. But he was always, you know, like the next kid coming up through, always a class or two behind me, you know, just when I was on 125s, he was on 85s and stuff like that. Okay. You know, and then by the time I got to A class, it was kind of, you know, I was kind of got up into the pro stuff and was living down south and really wasn't living around the Midwest too much anymore. But you know, that's kind of almost how it's been. And you have guys like Henry Miller was another name who I always grew up with, and Zach Williams, and even like Jesse Wentland and those guys. You know, we are all kind of from the same general area. I used to race at Millville back in the day, and you know, now everybody's kind of came on. They've done the pro scene. You know, Jesse's kind of gotten out of it, and Zach's got a normal job nowadays, and he was out of Lakewood last weekend and put in two great rides just up in the top 20. So I mean, you know, it's to grow up with all these guys and continue to be crushing it, you know, it's super cool. And I mean, Henry's doing great in the 450 class. I think he had a top 15 last mm-hmm. weekend. So, you know, it's cool to still be doing it with all these same guys that, you know, we raced when we were on 65s and 85. Definitely crazy to think we're, you know, a small group of people out of the Midwest has gotten to, you know, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's definitely awesome. And it obviously going to help you coming up too, if you got a lot of, you know, good competition. You mentioned, you're headed south for the winters. Obviously it's balls cold up in Wisconsin. So, where did you go? What was your like winter plan growing up?
So when I was in amateurs, I'd always head down to Texas. I rode for the Horton Yamaha team, which was kind of like a satellite amateur Yamaha team, through like Rock River and those guys back in the day. And, I'd always live in down by, like Fort Worth, Dallas area, and train in Texas. And then when I got, would have been my A class, my last year going into amateurs, I went to Matt Walker's place down in Georgia, and, you know, great place, and learned so much from them guys, and went to some of the amateur nationals. Just had a little bad luck that spring, and kind of had to come home for a little while and take some time off and rest up. And then when we did, we were kind of on a budget, and it was, you know, we were looking for somewhere else to go and move a little farther south, just where it was a little warmer. And we ended up going on a GPF, and that worked out great for me down there in Cairo, Georgia, where it's pretty much the hotbed of amateur motocross. And, you know, everybody that comes up through, it seems like has at least been to Cairo, Georgia, and been around that neck of the woods. And, yeah, so I spent about 4 or 5 years there and, you know, working with Josh Woods and everybody there. And it was awesome. You know, the area's beautiful and weather's nice. I mean, other than the summer when you're sweating and regretting every minute of being down in southern Georgia, you know, it's, but yeah, so I've been all over, you know, and training in some great places. Never really spent much time out in California other than the first few rounds of the Nationals. But, you know, for traffic out there, I definitely don't need to spend any more time than a few weeks out in Southern California.
Yeah. I kind of get that vibe from a lot of people. It's, not as great as I think it seems, especially a lot of traffic and whatnot. Before you go, Cody, one thing I like to ask my guests on here is when you're not painting and when you're not out there ripping on that 125, what are some hobbies that you like to do outside of the motocross stuff?
Outside of motocross, man, I just, you know, I'm a super athletic person, love sports. Right now I'm, you know, big into watching the NBA playoffs. Not necessarily a big NBA fan, just love the playoffs, mm-hmm. but I love playing basketball, you know, golf, tennis, pretty much anything outside like that, going out in the lake, you know, but just a big sports fan in general. If I can be doing something, you know, I'm pumped with that. And my brother growing up was super good at basketball and super good at baseball. And so for me, it was always doing that stuff with him, you know, so I got to be fairly good at him. And now I can enjoy that with him and just pick up a basketball whenever I want and go shoot some hoops. So just staying active, staying outside, man, it's all I really do whenever I'm off work or off riding. So I, you know, there's not much time to sit behind the TV screen. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So who you got, Raptors or Warriors?
Ooh, man, honestly, big Bucks fan. Hometown, went to a bunch of their games. I was crushed when Giannis could not pull through for us in the last round. But, you know, I've always been a LeBron fan, and with him not there this year, I was kind of looking forward to the Golden State getting beat. But now how many guys they got hurt, you know, it's almost like they're the underdog, and it's like, man, I wonder if, you know, they can pull it off and get this three-peat, you know, just being so injured. But right now it's just, I like seeing good basketball, and I hope Golden State tomorrow night can tie this sucker up and give us a good series.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Like, I could care less. I'm a Heat fan. We had our run about 8 years ago now. But I'm just seeing good basketball. Going to turn the hockey game on here shortly, too. Are you a Brewers fan or not really baseball?
Not a big baseball guy. Definitely a Brewers fan. You know, we actually have a good team going. Midwest sports are coming around, I tell you that much. I mean, it might be from all the Barstool sports, beer chugging things. Recently that everybody even knows what Midwest sports are about, but you know, the Packers are good, the Brewers are good, Bucks are good, so it's a good time to be from Wisconsin, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm like an adopted a Brewers fan now, because Christian Yelich was like, I'm a Marlins fan, so he was my favorite player on the Marlins, and of course we trade him away.
Okay.
He's just does unreal, so I'm rooting for you guys now too.
Heck yeah, I like the sound of that.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, thank you so much for coming on. And who do you want to thank before we end this?
So, you know, I just want to thank my parents for everything they've helped me out with my whole career. You know, it's so much fun now to be able to do this with them and enjoy it with them. But Rob's Performance Motorsports, huge help in getting me this 125 this year. If it wasn't for those guys, I probably would not be riding their bike this summer. So Rob's Performance, thank you guys so much. Works Wheels and Mods, Brett Hooper with Works Wheels and Mods has all my suspension, and my bike handles awesome. I mean, it's hard to put 125 in the show, and if it ain't handling right, you know, you're probably not going to make it. Tom's Not Racing has a motor running gate, Fly, Scott, Darnay, EVS Sports, Dunlop, Works Connection, Motorops, you know, just everybody that's behind me this year and jumped on board, and, you know, whether it was last minute or not, I'm super thankful for it and looking to have some more fun the next few rounds with you.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for coming on, and I hope to see you in Florida.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
See ya. What's up, guys? We've got some exciting news as our sponsor, Blood Lubricants, continues to push the bar with high-quality products. In addition to their already outstanding racing oil, they've added fork and shock fluid, gear oil, chain lube, kick-ass degreaser, detailer, and pre-race spray. Whether you have a UTV, Harley, ATV, or dirt bike, Blood Lubricants has you covered. They're offering sponsorship opportunities from the amateur level to the pro level, and they're already sponsoring top privateers like Tyler Bowers, Henry Miller, and Bubba Pauly. Racing is in their blood, but that's not all. They want to hook you guys up as well. Head on over to bloodlubricants.com. That's BLUD lubricants.com, and use promo code WHISKEY for 25% off your order. No need to rewind it. I'll say it again. 25% off your order with promo code WHISKEY at bloodlubricants.com. Jeff Green hooking you guys up. High quality stuff. Check it out. Back to the show. All right. On the line with me right now is former Arena Cross Lights champ, longtime professional supercross and motocross rider, kind of switching it up, doing some off-road stuff now. It's Heath Harrison. What's up, man?
Not a whole lot. Just hanging out. I actually just relaxing from a day of work. I started working for Maxon Construction last week, so I've been kind of changing up. This whole year has been a little different for me, but it's all good.
Yeah, doing the whole 9-to-5 thing, probably even more if you're doing construction, huh?
Yeah, it was actually like 4 a.m. to 3 today, so not really 9-to-5, but gets it done and puts some money in my pocket, so it's not a bad thing.
I hear you. Well, as I mentioned, you know, Arena Cross Lights champ, rode professional supercross and motocross for a long time. Why the switch to doing the off-road stuff now?
Just really looking for something different. I actually started the year out in supercross and started out really rough, and then at the mud race, I actually ended up getting sixth in my heat in the 450 class, and then my bike broke in the main because of the mud. So I was kind of over supercross at that point, and then just really searching, soul searching, I guess you'd say. And then some of the guys that support me had the idea of going off-road racing GNCC. So I went for it and had a rude awakening down at Wild Boar in Florida, and then not really that I wasn't physically prepared, more or less just had never really rode in the woods, and most of those guys have been doing it their whole life. So I was a little behind the eight ball on that, and then went to Aonia, I guess, was the second round, and then my bike broke again there, so kind of hit the reset button, and then just did some local stuff with the Seca series that's in like Alabama, Tennessee area, and I just recently did the 24-hour endurance challenge at Maplesville, Alabama, at Perry Mountain.
Yeah, I was there. That's what, you know, gave me the idea to get you on. That was actually my first time doing it. It was pretty fun event.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I did it probably 4 years ago, just in like one of the sportsman class for fun. And I that year the course was a little more open, so I actually ended up having like one of the top 3-4 lap times that year. So that was pretty cool. And then I did the one the year after that at Glen Helen with Ty Davis' team, and we ended up having bike troubles around 2 a.m. So we didn't finish that great. But then the one this past weekend at Perry Mountain actually went really well. It was me, Darren Downs, Will Steven Piper, and little Stevie Nicholas. And we ended up second overall against, I think, Russell Bobbitt, Jeff Braco, Brad Bacon, and
Cole Kirkpatrick, I think. Yeah, dude, those guys were
Yeah, so that was
unreal.
A pretty solid team to go up against. But we actually were the only other teams not get laps, so I feel like that was a pretty cool accomplishment.
Yeah, that's, you know, 24 hours, it's not too hard to get lapped. So that is actually a really good accomplishment.
Yeah.
So you mentioned your teammates. Are they just some buddies, or how did you get hooked up with those guys?
Well, actually, the NAP XC Gear team of Jeff Cowan, he kind of puts that all together. And my buddy Sammy Doris, who rode on the expert team for that same crew, he had mentioned something to Jeff. Well, then Jeff reached out to me, and I was like, yeah, man, like, I ain't got nothing going on that weekend. I wasn't going to Colorado for the Nationals, so I kind of just went for it. I know I've known little Stevie because he does the Seca stuff, and then I've known Darren Downs from he races moto also. So I knew them too, but that was the first time meeting Will, and we all got along great, and it made the 24 hours go by a little bit quicker.
Yeah, but it was my first time doing it, and I was surprised and shocked at how quick it did go. You mentioned you did the 24-hour before, and you've done one at Glen Helen. But how gnarly is it riding at night, especially like last week, and it was so dusty, it was pretty much impossible for me.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only gnarly part, I guess you could say, was the dust. Because like as soon as you got within, I don't know, probably 400 or 500 or 600 feet from somebody, it was pretty much lock the brakes up and let the dust settle, and then wait till you got into the tighter stuff where it wasn't as dusty, and then catch them, yell, and then luckily everybody's pretty cool about getting out of the way. So yeah, the dust was really the only gnarly part. The riding part of night, I think it's better, obviously, because it's so hot in South Alabama, and it was cooler at night. It was, I don't know, it's just more laid back, I guess you could say, because it's a slower pace, because you can't go as fast. So for me, I had more fun during the night besides the dust.
Yeah, that was just the damper for me was the dust. But like you said, it's more laid back. People are more reluctant to move over, which I think makes a lot better. I think they realize how gnarly the dust is. But it, all in all, it was a really cool event. And it was cool to see you out there and obviously Russell Bobbitt and those guys.
Yeah, it was cool to be out there. And then obviously, like I said, to not get lapped by those guys that have been doing it for so long and such great riders, that's pretty cool. I actually was literally thinking about it, I think, yesterday, and I think we finished 19 minutes behind them. So if you do the math, that's less than a minute an hour, so that's not too bad in 24 hours, you know?
No, especially like you said, against those guys. And it seemed to me, I could be wrong on this, but I felt like the track got better, because I think I was like fifth in my rotation for my team, and it was pretty bad, I felt like, the first day. And then the next morning, I thought it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I think it was way better. It was funny because after the race, we're like my team and then Russell and them guys' team were sitting there talking, And I don't know if you remember, but at one part of the trail, there was a wrong way sign and a banner. Well, like the first time I went out, I just had seen where they were ducking under the banner and the wrong way sign and then kind of just weaseling their way through the woods. So I think that in that way, it got a lot better because like that banner ended up obviously getting knocked down and a couple of the other ones got knocked down. So I think the trails got beat into where they flowed better rather than being such sharp corners in some of the areas. So I think in that sense, I liked it better as well. But the tighter section, like where they, like the junkyard or whatever they called it, where the little ghosts and stuff was, I literally dreaded that section every lap just because of how rooty it was and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, dude, that it was at the 23-hour mark. It was pretty bad, and it was one of those sections where you're like you're not even really going that fast, and then something just grabs you and sends you right into a tree.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned you went down to Wild Boar, did the first GNCC, kind of a, as you mentioned, a rude awakening. Or you went out there and pulled the hole shot, though, so that might not have been the best move for your first ever GNCC, but it was pretty cool to see. You know, first one out there, just going on the Kawasaki and crushing it.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because, like, how they do the little opening ceremony thing or whatever. The official, he was like, he literally told me before he said my name, he said, "You're probably going to pull the hole shot." And I guess because those guys don't really stress it that bad.
Yeah.
And I just kind of laughed it off. Well, then I get to like my starting position and one of the other mechanics said, "You're probably about to pull the hole shot." And I'm like, all right, like, what do these guys know that I don't know? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So sure enough, I did. And then I get into the woods. I make it not even half a mile. Well, and then it tightened up a little bit, and those guys were revving at me, yelling at me. I'm like, dude, this is not good.
Yeah,
so I moved. I didn't ask, by the way. A couple guys passed me. Well, then they, like, some more guys passed me, and it, like, I didn't even see them pass me, really, because they're so good at finding different lines that aren't part of the actual trail, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that part I struggle with, because just from not doing it, I guess. And then the tighter sections really killed me. And then once they all passed me, then Ben Kelly and all those XC2 guys come, and then the 125 start catching. It's just mentally tough.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, you're out there, you're trying to find your flow. Obviously it's like your first GNC ever. You're out there trying to find your flow. And then you're worried about, you know, not holding the guys up behind you and if you need to move over or not and who's coming up. It's just kind of all downhill after that.
Right, and I honestly didn't even realize how far up, like, say Ben Kelly and those guys passed. So once they passed me, I'm like, man, I can't be the only guy in XC1 to get passed. Well, then after the race, I realized, like, them dudes are getting, like, fourth, fifth, sixth overall, you know, so it's not like a terrible thing to get passed by them, I guess.
Yeah, Ben Kelly this past weekend actually got third overall on the overall podium, so don't feel too bad. I think I was at the first four GNCs just watching, and it was pretty sick to see. But you also pick like the roughest one. I'm from Florida, and we have a local race there, and it gets super gnarly, and I'm sure it's even worse for the afternoon GNCC race.
Yeah, the first lap, I'm like, okay, this is pretty gnarly. Well, then each lap after that, I'm like, man, I ain't even on the same course I just rode.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many dudes out there just beating it up that, like, literally every lap, it felt like a different trail.
Yeah, it's pretty unreal how much it changes. One thing I wanted to ask you is, what do you think in your long motocross background helps you in the woods, and then what do you think about it hurts you?
I don't necessarily think any of it hurts you because I don't think those guys are relaxed at any point. You know what I mean? I think they're pretty much full gas the whole from start to finish, because like when those dudes post like their heart rate monitors and stuff, they're not slacking off at any point of that race, you know what I mean? So I wouldn't say any of the moto side of it hurts you, but just because in a sense motocross is full gas from the time you take off to the time you finish, you know? So the only part I think it hurts you is you're in the trees, like you're not, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
moto, you have a 20-30 foot track to ride on in the trees. You got, I don't even know what, how far apart it is, but whatever handlebar width are at some of the sections.
Mm-hmm.
and then just like lean, like you, some of the corners you can't really lean because there's a tree on the inside, so you'll hit your shoulder. And then I think it's really just a different technique.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And like even like you said, like you're in the trees, maybe just even a comfort zone thing, like coming into some of the corners, like you're not gonna hit the tree, but just in your mind you're not used to having one there, and you're like kind of worried about it, and that throws you off and stuff like that.
Yeah, but, and it's not like those dudes don't know how to ride moto, because obviously Caleb Russell proved that last year at Unadilla. So it's not like going to a, like, no offense to the local Seca series, but like some of the guys in that, they're just really good at the tight trails, but then as soon as you hit like an open dirt road or something, they just shut her down, where I was able to shine in that part of the, like some of the Seca races, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, yeah, it definitely makes sense. You know, the different series have kind of different strong suits and stuff like that. Let's take it way back here, Heath. How did you, you know, first get started racing motocross and racing dirt bikes?
Well, I started riding when I was 3, but my dad always wanted to ride when he's little. He always rode like his buddy's bikes and stuff. And then I have an older brother that started riding when he was 3 also. So then I was kind of just in, like it was in my blood, I guess you could say. But I started riding when I was 3 and then did all the amateur stuff and tried for Loretta's until obviously turned pro, but I didn't make it to Loretta's until like 05 in the 7-11 85 class. And I did terrible. And then I didn't make it again until I think 08, and I did terrible again in 450B. And then I don't know, something in 09 just clicked, and I went to Ponca that year when it was still like one of the bigger amateur nationals the week before Loretta's. And I ended up winning a class that week, and then we went straight to Loretta's, and I ended up winning 4-stroke and getting 3rd in 450B. So something within that year just clicked, because I was pretty much top 5 at all the amateur nationals as far as like the Texas ones, Mini-O's, all that kind of stuff. And then I didn't get any support. So then 2010, we thought it'd be a good idea to go race Hangtown for the Pro Nationals. So here I am 9 years later, about to start my 9th season of professional outdoor motocross.
Okay, so that was going to be one of my questions, if we were going to, you know, see you at any of the nationals this summer.
Yeah, I'm going to do, starting at High Point, I plan to do the rest of them from High Point on.
Okay, awesome. That's going to be cool out there for you to see. I guess, would Florida be the closest one to you now? I guess Tennessee's gone. I don't know where in Alabama you're from, but.
Florida would be, but I'm actually living in North Carolina now.
Okay.
That's where the job is that I just took on. So either Florida or High Point or Butts Creek. They're all pretty close, within 6 hours from here.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. What part of North Carolina?
Like 30 minutes north of Charlotte.
Okay.
Kind of right there where Strang and all those guys live.
Okay, yeah, I'm in Huntersville, but I work in Troutman, Statesville area.
I got you.
Yeah, awesome. That's cool. Seems like it's crazy. Like I said, from Florida, I moved up here a couple, I guess, 9 months ago now, and moto is way bigger up here than it is in Florida, and I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, it's not really a comparison, but Alabama moto is terrible. So coming up here, it's really cool, because like last year, I actually lived up here last year when I rode for the Honda team, and I like that's when Cooper was still living up here, so we'd all go ride with him, and then like during Arena Cross, I'd go ride with Hayes up at his place. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Within an hour and a half, you can kind of ride with pretty much whoever you want.
Yeah,
to a point.
That's awesome. How hard,
whether it's off-road guys, supercross guys, or motocross guys, you know?
Yeah, it's huge. Actually, it's funny, I just saw like Alex Martin, I guess, because he's staying with Phil, and he lives right by me, and saw him running just by the JGR shop. It's crazy. There's a ton of people up here, and I never realized that until I moved. But
yeah, it's pretty wild.
How hard is it for you now, obviously doing the construction thing, working those long hours, getting up early? How hard is it for you to train during the week and get some riding time in to prep for these nationals?
Honestly, I just started last week, so it hasn't really set in, I guess you could say, because I was still able to ride up until last week and continue like my normal program. So last week was really the first week I haven't ridden, and then I went to the 24-hour. So this week I haven't wanted to ride.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of playing it by ear. And then, like, once the nationals start, we usually would only ride, like, 1 or 2 days mm-hmm. at the most. So I don't think that part's going to be that big of a deal. And even, like, when I was on KTMs in 2016, me and my buddy T-Bone were on the road in my van for nationals, and I hardly ever rode. We just spent all of our time driving and stuff, and ended up killing it that year. So kind of looking at it the same way. And then that's even the year I did the 24-hour in that sportsman class I was telling you about. So hoping everything falls into play the same way it did that year.
Yeah, it might keep you more fresh on the weekends. And like you said, that after that 24-hour, you probably got enough riding time for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think I end up riding right at 7 hours. So that's more riding than most factory guys do, I believe, in a week. So
yeah, and ever-changing at night, all the different conditions to get you perfectly in there. It's too bad they don't race at night at Thunder Valley anymore. You'd been primed up.
Yeah, no kidding. I would bring my headlight and everything.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. Well, hey, thank you so much for coming on. And before I let you go, who do you want to thank for getting you out there?
Yeah, I'd just like to give it up to Romar Marina, Imagimoto, Maxon Inc., FXR, Arai Helmet, CD Boots, FXR Gear, Backyard Design Graphics, SDG Seats, Ride Engineering, IMS, and just everybody that continues to support this crazy journey I'm on. I appreciate it.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, best of luck this summer. I'll be at the Florida National, so I'll make sure to swing by and say what's up.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. Thanks, man.
Later.
See ya.
In the band, we are all around.